The Morbius Mindcrasher is the most difficult and complicated pinball machine ever built. It requires the super keen reflexes of a cat, the ultra vision of a hawk, the heat sensitivity of a viper, and the bat's supersonic hearing. Before playing, he squats down. He empties out the alternating current boosters, the effluvial dampers, the radio spanners, and the other electronics from his backpack. He places them in a once damp and now dry cardboard box labeled Cognitive Resonator Parts. Eager to play, he skips over to the pinball machine and flips the toggle switch on, and the mechanisms whir. Static electricity ripples over Fitz's skin, and his hairs stand on end. Lights flicker and run patterns up and down the playfield, while the kickers and whirlwinds click and crank. Five silver balls drop to the plunger. The scoreboard shuffles, the numbers cycle through, and then it freezes on the current high score, 20,000 points. The initials next to the high score are UNK, unknown user. The second place score is 10,000 points, and the initials FGF for Fitzgerald Faraday. The third place score 1,000 points, and the initials of POC for Professor Oliver Crowley. Fitz glares at the scoreboard, obsessed with beating the high score. He runs his fingers over the buttons, flicking the flippers up and down. His eyes glaze over and stops blinking. He no longer feels thirst or cold or weight. His mind is a complete blank, and he is solely focused on the game. He forgets Eddie Thompson. He forgets the chemistry tests and the geometry homework. He forgets embarrassing locker room fiascos and those awkward moments with buxom beauty Rodelia Latimer Clark. And he forgets his mother. He is so in tune, the balance of the machine seems to align itself with his own equilibrium, and he can see where the ball will go before it moves. He yanks back on the plunger and flings the ball into play. It ricochets off bumpers, jetting to a bright blue kicker, and then flinging off a blinking shot. The silver ball sinks into a saucer, and three more balls drop into play, bouncing off spinners and racing off ramps. The score rapidly doubles, triples, and quadruples. Then the scoreboard flashes fireball, and an orange ball drops into gameplay. Every time it hits a target or a switch, a jackpot flashes on screen. The balls never fall between the flippers. He makes no mistakes. His fingers become part of the machine. And the score keeps rising. 6,000, then 7,000, then 8,000. Sirens rotating. Strobes announce a score chasing the first place. But they do not distract Fitz. He is in the zone. He cannot hear the buzzers. He can only feel the silver balls bounce about. Hours pass, and he is still in Zen. Completely absorbed. Lost in the mechanisms of the game. And without a sense of self. Nothing can break his concentration. Not even the screeches of the squirrel monkey flipping and somersaulting in the doorway. A mysterious voice says, "Enough."
The voice yelling "Enough" belongs to Professor Oliver Crowley, an inventor who teaches Fitz Faraday how to turn thoughts into matter. Give us a thumbnail of how Crowley achieves this.
Crowley is kind of eccentric in his field. He studies parapsychology and psychology. His process is really about trying to bring his imagination into the real world. He kind of explores like different pathways until he taps into his own id, so his own kind of inner demons and his own subconscious. And then as he's done that, he kind of releases the power from within.
The title of your book sounds epic. The Marvelous Paracosm of Fitz Faraday.
Sure. Yeah.
And the Shapers of the Id. Just when you thought all the good titles were used up, right?
Right, right.
And now, for those of you who don't know, a paracosm is an imagined world that
right.
In psychology, could become a problem if a person gets too wrapped
right.
up in that
right.
world. Then there's the shapers of the id. The id, of course, the basic impulsive self. What does it mean to shape an id?
So Crowley challenges the theory that the id lives within. He says that the id is more of a field that surrounds us. And so his method is to take that field and he moves the spectrum from the invisible to the visible. And so that's what he does. He shapes it. He can create what he wants just using his imagination. And he uses a machine called the Cognitive Resonator.
Turning thoughts into matter.
And thoughts into matter, right, right.
Well, let's stay with Professor Crowley for a second.
Sure, sure.
He used to be on the faculty of a prestigious university.
Right.
But was kicked out because senior faculty believed his experiments were dangerous.
Right.
So Crowley continues his research in a ramshackle mansion in a nearby town until he is no longer able to do so. This is me avoiding a spoiler. Crowley's student, Fitz Faraday, mm-hmm. picks up the experiments. Now, Faraday has synesthesia, a condition that allows him to hear colors and see music. Why did you give Faraday this ability?
It's just a teaser, right? It builds the foundation for what eventually Faraday can do. It starts as sort of like foreshadowing almost. I give him this kind of natural ability that normal people have, right? This is a realistic thing that people have. And it sets that kind of ground level. It says, okay, he can already see things in a different way. So it's not that much of a leap then to go from that one to the next shift of reality where he starts really messing with things.
Now, Faraday gets help with his experiments from his friend Hollis, who lives in a junkyard.
Right.
So using spare parts, Hollis builds a portable cognitive resonator, which allows Faraday to better manipulate these thought forms and energy fields. Soon, Faraday creates his own home, a pirate fort, really.
Right.
We also see him create weapons out of his imagination to battle an id monster, this giant gorilla-like
sure.
creature.
Right.
So we have a story about creation.
Yes.
And the struggle to control creation.
Good, yeah, yeah.
What interests you most about this kind of story?
It's a timeless story. All peoples have had a kind of a creation myth that informs the way they see the world. So I wanted to write one that was more in touch with who we are as a people today. In a lot of ways, you could even read the book as an analogy or a metaphor for the artistic process or the creative process.
The content of your story is G-rated. What message do you want younger readers to take away from this story?
It is G-rated, and I intentionally left out swearing. In fact, I invent my own vocabulary for things.
Yeah, give us an example of one or two of...
So schmuckstache is one of my favorite ones I use. So it's basically taking the word schmuck and mustache and putting them together. And then what I want kids to take away from it is it really isn't about Fitz, though. In a lot of ways, it is, right? It's about his skills and what he can bring to the table. But it's all about him learning and his growth through his friendships. So he relies on the two other characters, Hollis and Josie. Without them, he could not accomplish the tasks that he does.
And so, we should mention Josie, his girlfriend.
Girlfriend, eventually, yes.
Well, the book is The Marvelous Paracosm of Fitz Faraday and the Shapers of the Id. And the author is Aaron Lawler at WNIJ.org. You can see a video of Aaron reading another excerpt from his book. Aaron Lawler, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.